Welcome to Lorenzo's Locker. I'm Lorenzo Alexander, featuring special guest Donald Jones. And today we'll be talking about our Super Bowl picks, the week leading up to the big game, and be joined by all-pro safety Michael Thomas of the Miami Dolphins.
Careful what you putting in your ears now. Hard to hear the truth, cause the lie talk real loud. We yelling Jesus, they yelling chill out. Nah, but you can tell them that we here now.
We here now, we here now, we here now.
We here now. You know, welcome to Lorenzo's Locker, here with guest Donald Jones. And yes, you heard that right. The tables have turned. I am the analyst, the host, and Donald is my guest. Unlike normally when we out on, you know, the John Murphy show and I'm hanging out with those guys. So welcome, Donald. How you doing today?
Well, it's good to be a guest. I'm always a guest, though. Even when you come in on the Lowdown on the Murph show, I'm still the co-host. So it's been rare that I've been in the whole seat. But it's fun being in the whole seat. It's a little different, though.
It is different when you have to drive the show, control it, keep you under wraps. Because, you know, you can kind of go off on your tangents at times.
Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, I've watched the show. I hear the show. And, you know, John does a good job. So hopefully I can come half as decent as John does as far as getting you down the right path.
I mean, sometimes it goes left sometimes, you know, and you got to just let it manifest itself.
Right. Well, you know what? It's been an eventful week, you know, here at One Buffalo. And obviously this week we learned about Eric Wood retiring. I'd like to talk about that for a second. But also your role will be changing with the organization as well and with the John Murphy show. Just talk a little bit about that because, I'm a guy that hangs around you a lot. And I'm actually going to kind of miss you if you're not going to be here on the day-to-day basis.
Man. That's the first I've heard of that. Wow.
Hey, man, I got to keep it real.
Wait till the fans hear this. They swear at me you don't like each other.
No, yeah, I love you, and that's why I get on you all so hard.
Yeah, it's all good. But, yeah, man, I'll be stepping down here in the near future and, you know, just got to get back home to the family. I miss home. I miss the family. But I'll still be around. I'll still be around in some capacity.
Okay, no, I can understand that. I mean, you got to have a happy wife to have a happy life.
Man, what?
Yeah, to say the least, because I just know when – I normally come up here doing off-season to train for OTAs, and my wife is normally in Virginia.
Right.
That right there, and even though I'm going back every weekend, it's hard. And she's like, you got to go. Can you know, tell them you're an older guy now? Can you miss a couple of weeks? Yeah. So I can only imagine because you're up here throughout the entire week, right, and then go back. And you don't even go back every weekend.
Every weekend, nah.
Yeah, so that's, I mean, that's hard enough. And you have a little baby and all that stuff. So that's crazy. You know, obviously big ups to your wife for holding it down for so long now and allowing us to have you a little bit that we've had these last 2 years.
Yeah, it's been fun. And like I said, I'll still be around. But, yeah, man, you it's hard to be away from the kids. It's hard to be away from her. But especially the kids, like 7-year-old, you know, he's in that real impressionable age.
Yeah,
you know?
No.
So when I go home, he says things and I'm like, what?
Yeah, where you hear that from?
Yeah, so hold on.
Who told you that?
Let's sit down and talk about this, you know. So it's good I want to get back to them. But it's also, you know, my grandparents. I have sick grandparents and people that I want to be around and spend some time with before they're not here anymore. They're getting up there in age. They're older, let's just say that. And so it's time to get back home to everybody.
Right, now, that's always key. And, you know, that's always something that players have to struggle with, especially if we play for a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, when is it time to, you know, step away and kind of reintegrate back into the family and, you know, hold down a regular 9-to-5 or whatever, you know, your passions may be after this game. And obviously this week we unfortunately, you know, Eric Wood, in his situation, the choice was always made for him with his neck injury. But today or, you know, this week with the press conference was crazy. I don't think I've ever seen this many people at a press conference for a player. And I've been to a couple of them, had a couple of guys. I mean, you had the whole organization out there, had 4 or 5 players, you know, Jeff Hangartner, Fitz. It was a couple other guys I didn't even know that just flew in to Buffalo in the winter.
In the winter.
To come and see Eric as, you know, he kind of steps away from the game or his role changes. So it's – that was amazing.
They got kind of a nice day, though, to fly back in. It wasn't like the blizzard conditions.
You know? Yeah, I guess. But if I'm down somewhere in Florida or in California or somewhere where it's nice playing some golf, one guy came from South Carolina, I'm like, what? Buffalo. But, you know, they just, I guess it just shows how great of a guy Eric is.
It does show how great of a guy Eric is, how good of a teammate he was to a lot of people, even the guys that aren't here anymore. He's a great teammate. He's likable,
right.
Talks to everybody. It doesn't matter if you're on the offense or the defense, if you're a wide receiver, and you've probably been on teams where you have some cliques on the team
Yep.
where guys only hang around with other wide receivers, the linebackers with only those guys. He was a guy that would talk to everybody.
Yeah.
Or is a guy that will talk to everybody. So that's why you had so many guys fly back in. I was talking to Fitz. He flew in from Tampa. He was like, yeah, I'm back up here in Buffalo. I need to get back down to Tampa. It's a little warmer down there.
Right. Yeah, most definitely. I mean, I guess the biggest thing I'm going to miss about Eric is, especially this past year, we used to drive to the airports together.
Okay.
You know, there and then when we get back home, ride back and kind of decompress together and talk about the game, talk about life, talk about our kids or whatever may have been going on. And that's what I really enjoy about playing this game, because you get to connect with people on such a more intimate level than just playing football. You know, you get to learn about men and grow up that way.
How does and you're not in this position. I mean, you've already said that you want to continue to play this game. But how would something like that affect a player who might be contemplating retirement? You know, when you have something like that, that type of rapport with the guy, where now it's not there anymore, and you're like, ugh, all right, I won't have that person.
Right, and that is hard, and that's it's something that I struggle with, especially if, let's say, you know, hopefully this doesn't happen, but Kyle Williams steps away, Richie's no longer here, you know, Eric isn't in the locker room, and then I am already the oldest guy. Now there's nobody in my peer group, you know. I'm going to have to start pulling shady. I always give him a hard, you know, anyway, you old, man. It becomes hard because now you have nobody to relate to, nobody to talk to confide in, because those guys, I have a closer relationship just because we're in the same time in life. We're in the same chapter, with the family, the kids. You know, some of these young cats, are actually young enough to be my son in some instances. You got some 20, 21-year-olds on this team. So even though I can hang out, you know, kick it, play ball with them, you just don't relate on the same level just because I just can't do what you do anymore. I'm not at that phase of my life.
I mean, you feel like the uncle or somebody's dad, you know? Like, you always got to always have to talk to them about, you need to prepare for life after this. You don't want to do that. You know, you want to just be able to hang with people that are in the same place mentally as you every now and then, you know, and that's, like you said, with the families. And it ain't even just you. It's a lot of the young guys don't have kids or wives or any of that stuff, so they out partying.
Right.
Then you're like, man, what am I supposed to do? Just be at home every day? Like, I want to chill with you, or at least bring my family to your house and be able to chill.
Because your wife's going to be like, who you hanging out with?
He married?
Yeah. Oh, nah, you ain't. Nah. You can't go do that.
Nah.
You know, I've got to the point where I don't even ask my wife about certain guys, because either have a reputation or they just young and just doing their thing, and I'm not gonna even bring that to it. I can't hang out, man. We got some family stuff to do before we even gets to that point.
They like, dang, Lorenzo don't never want to.
It's more about what you doing than me. I would like to hang out, but you just doing some stuff I just can't get, you know, dabbling anymore.
We had there's always guys on teams like that, but I stayed down here in Orchard Park, but a bunch of the guys that were young stayed down in downtown.
Oh, yeah.
I never was like, I'm going downtown to hang with someone. So she knew what that was.
Right.
We had Chippewa Street where we just partying all the time. Chippewa was live then. And she knew if I say, I'm going downtown to so-and-so house, that don't sound good. I'm going over Stevie Chris. Stevie married with two kids, three kids. You know what I mean? I'm staying over here in the South Towns. You'll never catch me downtown with nobody.
And that definitely makes sense. So, you know, with that said, look, man, let's get into this Super Bowl a little bit. And the big game that's coming up, obviously, with the Patriots and the Eagles is going to be a good one, I think. But just kind of leading up to the week, have you ever experienced Super Bowl have you been as a player?
Not as a player.
But you've been down as
– just down there
just kind of kicking it, hanging it out.
And working, doing media stuff.
Right. So kind of walk us through normally the kind of what you kind of experienced.
Man, so my first year in the league, 2010, I was down in Dallas. And this was the year Green Bay played – Pittsburgh.
Oh, yeah. That was a bad one.
It was a bad one because it snowed like six inches down there.
Yeah, I was there for that.
Yeah, you know, and it was like, I'm in Dallas. That might have been, I don't know if that was the first time I had been in Dallas, but for it to snow, and, you know, down there, they can't handle it.
Nah.
They shut the city down.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just, I still was able to go to a couple of different parties, which is, typically that was the reason why I was there. I ended up still doing some work just so that I can say I'm going to do some work.
Right.
But I partied a little bit. I went – Ray Lewis had one. Jamie Foxx had one. I went to the ESPN alumni event, which I wasn't even alumni yet.
Right.
But I just found myself in there. So, you know, the week leading up is just really a bunch of parties and media stuff. I did a bunch of the players' gifting suites.
Oh, you always got to get the free stuff, right?
You know us. Yeah, I mean, you had to. They giving away stuff? Yeah.
You're aware?
Yeah, right?
That might be my wife's favorite thing about going to Super Bowl
is
the gifting suites. And when I've been to a couple of them, but they had one. I don't know if you went to the one that was in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah. I went.
That one probably was the best one that I've been a part of so far as just gifting suites. Everybody was giving away stuff. New Era, Nike, I mean, everybody. Kohan. It was just stuff everywhere, free stuff. You almost have to bring your own suitcase just for the
for
stuff
that, that you're
going
to you
bring back home.
I mean, the year I went, well, the one I went to in Dallas, you had Nike, Under Armour, and that stuff. But then you had Microsoft was there giving away Xboxes.
Yeah.
And I was like, they just gave me an Xbox? This is crazy. So, you know, my son wasn't old enough yet, but I'm like, he'll play with this at some point.
Nobody was waiting for you outside?
No. Oh, okay. Nobody was waiting for me. It was good. But, see, Dallas is spread out, too. I think people kind of underestimate.
Yeah,
it was like some places, some events were in Fort Worth. Others were in Dallas. And
Arlington.
Then, yeah, man. Yeah, it was like you're driving all around the place. I went to San Fran a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get to do that much because I had a speech that week down to Santa Barbara, and I drove from Santa Barbara up to San Fran, which is like 5 hours.
Yeah.
When I got this, I stayed in San Jose. I had a speech in Oakland at a school called Making Waves, I think it's called. Is that Oakland or Richmond? It might be Oakland.
I mean, they're both there.
It's like the same.
For the most part.
So I had a speech there, and then I had like three other speeches in San Jose. So I didn't get to spend much time where all of the events were. I did, though, go to a couple of events down there, but that city is so weird to get in and out of there it was to me.
I'm from there, so I know how to get away.
So it was like, all right, and then it was so much traffic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you was on the Oakland side trying to get over, it took forever. You might as well just jumped on BART or something like that.
Right. I don't know nothing about that. You know what I mean? I'm down there by myself.
So I'm
like, all right, let me Uber it in.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting in the Uber looking at my thing like, yo.
Right.
You want to turn around and take me back to San Jose? Because this is too much. My thing
you
is going
Uber
up.
From San Jose, San Fran?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't have a rental or anything.
Man, that's
like
45 minutes, no traffic.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know what I mean? Way too far.
So, I found myself down there a little bit, but I didn't get to spend too much time at the events down there. What was it like for you?
Well, I mean, pretty much the same, but I, you know, obviously being from the Bay Area for the San Francisco one, I was down with the PA. I normally go down there with them and do like our press conference and some other player association type of business. And then me and my wife just get a chance to kind of go out. We do the NFL experience. We do all the gifting suites. And then really the parties. I mean, she loves going to the parties because it's almost like a free concert.
Yeah.
You know, if you can get the right plug to get you in,
whoever
it is, DirecTV party, ESPN. I mean, there's so many. And if you know the right people, you can get in. So most of the time we've been able to get hooked up with some good stuff. And this year we're looking forward to, I guess J-Lo is performing at one.
Really?
And
then
she's looking forward to going to. And the club scene and the party scene really ain't my scene, but she loves it. So, I really do it for her. And then I'll be doing working with the NFL this year. They have like a broadcasting boot camp set up for guys that have done some of their programming before. And so me, LeJay Duzable, one of the former Bills will be out there working with him. So just kind of jumping around media row. You kind of know the gig. You know, you got everybody from everywhere across the country.
All types of companies.
And it's
kind of
popping in. Right. We'll do some NFL Network. And then Jerry Madelone that works with the Bills too as a consultant will be down. And just kind of giving us some feedback because that's something that I'm thinking about doing post-career, you know, as far as playing football, something that I may be interested in kind of getting into and doing for, making some money like you are, you know?
You ever, making some money like I am, you ever go to the gospel concert?
I did that one year.
1 year? I went to the one in Dallas. I went to the one in New York as well.
Oh, okay.
I went to that one. And then I did the one, it was in Oakland, matter of fact. Because Marshawn Lynch, his mom was there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she was, and they had the mayor there, and the mayor was, he was talking trash about the city. You know, we got a Super Bowl this year, all types of stuff. So it was cool, though. I love. The funniest thing is seeing the players get up there and sing.
Yeah, some of them don't need to be up there.
No, they don't.
They just go up there and just – one time I gave my boy a hard time because he was in the back. I said, you just got to get up there. Huh? Lip singing, ain't really moving.
Ain't saying nothing,
dude. I'm like, why are you even on the thing,
right?
man? You just want to be seen.
Just want to be seen. You zoom in on his mouth, he off the words. Like, yo, you wasn't even on track with everybody else with what they saying.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I've been invited to it a couple of times. I went to it. I'm more – I mean, I like gospel music, but I just don't like that I don't like paying for to go to concerts. I mean, that's not, I'm that's the not same a big
way.
Thing.
I'm the same
I mean, it has to be somebody I really
like. The same way.
And then I'll go show up. And even I'm not paying, I just don't – I feel like I'm wasting my time, like I'm not into it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm the same way. The reason I went to the one in New York, because I'm from Jersey, it was close. My mom, my grandmother, they all wanted to go. I had the plug who got me in, so we did the red carpet thing. They always wanted to do a red carpet. So I'm like, all right, I'll take y'all down there. And now I get to that red carpet, and Patti LaBelle was performing.
Oh, wow.
And it was it was horrible on the red carpet. They couldn't find people's tickets. And these are celebrities.
Yeah.
They couldn't find people's tickets. Patti is performing. They couldn't find her tickets and stuff for the people that came with her.
Wow.
So she is hot.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And for me, when I was young, you know, Secret to Bills fans, when I was young, I had a crush on Patti LaBelle for some reason. She always been just that woman for me, even when I was young growing up. And so I'm on the red carpet with her, and I'm just – I usually don't get starstruck, but I got starstruck. Like, that's Patti right there. Yeah. And I'm on the red carpet with her. That's what's up, you know. And she was hot. She ain't paying me no mind because she's just trying to figure out, where my stuff at, you know. And so we stood on the red carpet for hours trying to wait for stuff. Then we ended up getting in. They had a bunch of people performing, and it was cool. But that's pretty much my Super Bowl weeks, just partying, like you said.
Yep.
Every now and then the gospel concert. I might do Media Row, do some work.
Right.
I never had the big endorsements and stuff like that. Where you see in Media Row, everybody Pepsi, different shirts on. Like, man, how much they paying you to do this?
I definitely had the opportunity to do that.
To
get paid to promote for somebody. I'd be trying.
Just to get paid.
You know,
and you
I
ain't even
paid Man of the Year. You know, last year I was all pro. I'm like, I don't still get no
still
love,
Still don't
man.
Get no love. You got to be Tom Brady or Peyton Manning or one of them boys.
I guess,
I remember. So I do remember, though, the first one I went to in Dallas, I'm in the club, Jamie Foxx's party. Now, Nick Barnett was still playing at the time.
Okay.
And he was playing with the Packers.
Green Bay linebacker.
Yeah,
right?
Bay linebacker. This was before he came to Buffalo.
He's a
Bay Area to Buffalo.
Guy.
Yeah, he is. Mm-hmm. He is. He came to Buffalo the next year.
Okay.
So I'm in the club. Now, I'm not in the game. And I see him, and I'm like, is that Nick Barnett in the club? It's like Wednesday. What's y'all curfew? This Joker in the club partying like crazy. But then I realized he was on IR. He wasn't playing anyway.
Oh, okay.
So he was just out there chilling.
Well, I know that has to be an issue. Even if he was on IR, I know some guys, especially some young guys, probably snuck out a couple of times during the week. And I think that's going to probably be a big factor this week.
Think so?
In the game, as far as how do guys handle the noise and then everything that the Super Bowl brings, because, you know, obviously you're out of your element of your normal routine.
Mm-hmm.
And you're kind of planted, you know. I don't know where their team hotel. I know some teams try to put you as far out as possible.
Yeah.
But it's always the one or two that's going to, you know, press the envelope. And whether you find yourself in a gifting suite or out hanging out, you know, drinking, whatever it may be, just trying to have extra fun and enjoy the moment. I think that's going to come down to somebody making a bust and a big play happening in the game.
It could. From what I understand, when you first get in town, your curfew is a lot later than the closer you get to the game.
Right.
They move your curfew up. So, guys, it gives guys a little time to kind of hang out a little bit. But, you know, the Patriots have this stuff down pat.
Right.
The Eagles, that's the question, because they don't. A lot of these guys never been there.
Yeah. I mean, what they have, I know one guy for sure. Corey Graham obviously went
right.
And he was with the Ravens.
Right.
So he can speak to it. I'm pretty sure it's probably a couple other guys sprinkled in there that have been in the game as well.
Yeah.
But that's always hard. You know, I actually called a couple of guys up that have played in the Super Bowls just around these last couple of years around the league, you know, Thomas Davis and a couple of other guys. And they were telling me, even Pat DeMarco was telling me that they did most of their installation the last week.
Really?
Put everything in
just
to kind of get ready normal work week, which made a lot of sense because when you get down to the Super Bowl, you have all these extra distractions. And if you're hearing some of the plays or the scheme or whatever you're trying to implement for the first time during that week, you're not going to be able to grasp it all. You know what I mean? So that made a lot of sense because obviously I've never played in the Super Bowl either. And I was just curious, you know, what do they do? Do they treat it like a bye week? But most of them treated it like a regular game, like they're getting ready to play when the Pro Bowl was played.
They don't get any time off? Do they get like maybe Monday, Tuesday off? I mean, you did just win the AFC Championship, NFC Championship.
Nobody mentioned to me about having
no time out, huh?
You know, a couple of guys were like Thomas Deere, he went here, broke his arm, so he didn't practice.
Right.
But obviously, he still had to show up, do meetings, and go through the whole process. Yeah, none of them said I'm pretty sure they maybe got maybe the end of the week off, maybe, but they didn't mention any bye week. And at that time in my life, if I'm going to Super Bowl, I don't need no days off anyway. Right, I'm in here. Let's get this mental work in. You know, obviously maybe not as physical as it's going to be, especially that late in the year. You don't have pads on anyway, but I don't need all that.
You know, this is like a – for a lot of guys, a once-in-a-lifetime event. I mean, unless you play for the Patriots, you get used to it. But for a lot of guys, this is once-in-a-lifetime. Some guys don't even get close to this. Now, you played in a Pro Bowl where you probably had to get a bunch of tickets to the game. I can only imagine what it's like for the Super Bowl. Everybody is like, yo, I want to go to that game. So you got people hitting you out the woodworks for tickets.
Yeah, and I mean, just talking to guys who've been, they've actually lost money. I mean, they use their whole check after taxes, obviously, on tickets, hotels, you know, depending on who's coming. I mean, because that stuff adds up. And I know people out there may think we get free tickets. Oh, and they made it to the Super Bowl. The NFL is going to take care of them.
No.
You're paying for every single one of them tickets. And I mean, and depending on where they're sitting, I mean, face value can probably be anywhere from $2,000 to $2,700.
Yeah.
And, you know, 10, 20 people. I mean, and that's an easy list. I can, you know, I probably can have 50 people ask me. I'm going to have to say, you know, about half knows. Nah. I ain't seen you in about 5 years, man. Like where you come from?
It's like a wedding. You get married. You're like, all right, I want this person on my list, this person. Nah, I ain't paying for them. They ain't going to give me no gift back. And I ain't talked to you in a long time. that's a lot of distractions. It's a lot. Talking to Murph. When the Bills were going to the Super Bowls, the first either one or two times, it was the same week.
They
didn't have the 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So it was – you were doing everything in 1 week.
Right.
Tickets, installation, flying out there, all of that stuff in 1 week.
Yeah,
so really,
imagine.
Probably guys probably relied on their wife to handle all of the tickets and stuff like that. And it's still probably the same way. But now you got 2 weeks, so it's a little bit more spread out. But at the same time, even though it's spread out, it just gives it more time for – the hype.
Right.
For everything to play in your mind, you know, and that right there is tricky enough for, like you said, you to have busts and different things in the game.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. But you know, before we dig deep into this game this week, let's get my boy Michael Thomas online and see, you know, his thoughts, what he's been up to. Obviously, he plays safety for the Miami Dolphins, special teams ace, been doing a lot of great things in the community and on the field. He's faced the Pats. He's been around the league a long time. He can speak dividends to this game. Yeah, we'd like to welcome in Michael Thomas, safety for the Miami Dolphins, onto the show. Special teams ace, a guy that I've known for a long time, you know, out of Stanford. I hate to say Stanford on my show, but I definitely got to, you know, throw that out there, give him a little plug for that, man. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing well, man. You know, it's all love in the Bay, man. It's all good.
It's
how
all love, but Lorenzo a hater. He a hater.
Hey, man, you call it what you want to call it, man. You know, I whooped Stanford my senior year. I don't know what he did
here,
but you know. You know, I made my boy Lee Torrance. I know you know Lee. I made him lose his cool, man.
Ooh.
He got ejected out of the last game we played,
man.
You know, all that drama I keep telling your guys about, man.
It's all good. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I'm not going to talk too much about it, but you know what the Aggies been the last, you know what almost 10 years
now?
I don't know.
I don't follow college football anymore. I don't know where it's at, man.
Hey, Mike, real talk. He was saying, Kyle, they smarter at his school than Stanford, all types of stuff. He was talking trash before you came on.
Yeah, I'm about to say, we're not going to do that. I'm not even going to tell you that one.
We know it's true, man. He couldn't get in the cow, man. That's why he didn't go. But, hey, man, I follow you on Instagram, Twitter, man, and obviously I have a lot of respect for what you do on and off the field. But I saw that you was out in L.A. coaching for the NFLPA, man. How did that go? How was that experience for you?
Man, it answered a lot of questions for me. I always wondered, would I even like coaching? You know, is that something, you know, something I'd be interested in? Obviously got a lot of, you know, compliments from coaches or players, executives like Mikey Johnson, you'll be a great coach one day. So I went out there.
Yeah.
PA invited me out to go, you know, intern coach. A couple legends out there, Dre Bly, he was the head DB coach. And then Eric Coleman, he was the other safeties coach. And they let me intern. I was helping with the safeties and the nickels. Bro, I loved it, man. Like, the, you know, obviously the meeting times, like, nobody like meeting. But it's a good group of guys. You know what I'm saying? Good group of guys, good group of coaches and stuff like that. We clowning around. You know, it reminded you of just how we do it in the locker room.
Okay. And now, did anybody catch your eye out there? Obviously, draft is coming up.
Oh, yeah.
Who caught your eye? Who's out there balling?
Man, so we had a safety that, you know, obviously I was able to put my hands on, you know what I'm saying, like, teach him the game, give him a whole bunch of nuggets that I've learned from the game and stuff like that. His name was Troy Apke. He came out of Penn State. He's a senior. Hey, boy, got wheels. Like, you know what I'm saying? Talking about range as a safety. speed, caught an interception, forced a fumble. I taught him how to play PP. You know how we do it on special teams. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
How to play PP. He got two special team tackles, forced a fumble. I mean, he ended up getting the MVP. So watch out for him. And there was a D tackle out of LSU. Man, like he was disrupted. He ended up actually scoring a touchdown, a fumble recovery for a touchdown. So them two dudes, man.
Hey, how hard is it when you're coaching in a game like that? You really don't want to find yourself cheering for one guy like that. You know, you talk about a safety. Obviously, you play safety, so you might be like, come on, make the play all day. You just paying attention to one dude. Like, how hard is that for you?
Nah, man, so that's what I'm saying. I learned something, man. Like, you're right. You do have to be conscious of that because although I'm happy for him and it was another DB who, like, a lot of people, like, was doubting all week because he was undersized, you know, obviously I took heed to that because, you know, that was a knock for me. He was out there just smacking food, so, you know, I was hyped for him. But it's like, okay, although I'm hyped for these dudes when they make plays, I still got to coach up my other dudes and not go hard, like, get, you know, come down hard on them when they mess up or stuff like that. So I learned that balance, and I got to appreciate how some good coaches I've had in the past, you know, I ain't going to talk about the bad ones, but how other coaches I've been around, you know, have been able to balance that, man, and, you know, just not just, like, trying to praise and lift up just this one dude, but trying to keep that balance with all my guys and coaches. But because I was, like, dual coaching with special teams, too, I had to stay in the game. I didn't even have time to, like, just mess with one player. I had to, like, hey, punt alert. Or, you know, I need that second group up and stuff like that. So it was fun.
Wow, that's impressive, man. So you definitely would recommend that for other guys in the league that's thinking about maybe coaching?
Definitely. Oh, definitely. That's a great way because you're making all those connections with guys who are either head coaches or, you know, have been head coaches or, like, have that influence with other, like, executives around the league. And they see you, and they're like, nah, man, you could be a good coach. So I recommend that for anybody who's thinking about coaching, reach out to the PA and try to become an intern coach at the next collegiate bowl game next year.
That's what's up. So what else you got going on this offseason, man? You doing Super Bowl or anything like that?
Oh, yeah. So I'm going to go out to Super Bowl on Thursday, you know, do a couple events. I'm actually doing the Rise Town Hall for the second year in a row. So that's gonna be cool, you know, just talk about with all we're doing, you know, and as a player who, you know, obviously using his voice, his platform to try to help people in our community, what we're doing in our communities and whatnot. Going to obviously hit media row, you know, that's going to be fun. And, you know, still enjoy myself, you know. Didn't make it to the Super Bowl, but I'm enjoying it, though.
You got to enjoy it. Before we got you on there, we were talking about the weather down there, up there. You ready for that, man? I heard it's like 8 degrees.
Man. Dog, I'm from Houston. I'm playing in California and Florida. You know what I'm saying? I know I ain't ready for it. But, shoot, I'm going to just try to find the biggest jacket I can find and bundle up, bro.
That's why you going out there Thursday. You're probably going leaving Friday.
Boy, what?
Yeah, well, you probably got to go up there and buy a jacket. Yeah. You can't buy no jacket in Florida and Houston and California at this time of year.
You're going to get off that plane and be like, ooh.
So dope.
You don't need a coat, man. It's what's up, though. So are you a guy that watches the game or you just go hang out and just kind of do your own thing on Sunday?
Nah, yeah, man. Normally I'm either out of there Sunday morning, you know what I'm saying, but probably Sunday morning. I normally don't go to the game, you know. That I just don't. I think that'll actually get to me if I'm actually at the game and didn't, you know, didn't make it. I might get a little bit. So I normally I'm dipping out this Sunday morning. Normally that's what I do.
Okay,
it's crazy because I used to tell people that, like, nah, you know, I go out there for the week, but I'm out of there Sunday morning. People are like, you don't go to the game? I'm like, man, I don't want to go to that game. I ain't playing in the game. Why would I go watch somebody else play?
Exactly, man.
It made a lot of sense.
I haven't reached that point where I'm just, I can enjoy watching somebody else play a game that I love, and I know I still got a lot to, you know what I'm saying, a lot to give, so, I can't do it.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely evident by the way you play on Sundays, bro. Hey, this is the million-dollar question that everybody is asking, and you guys figured it out this year. I mean, how do you beat the Pats? And they didn't have Gronk, obviously, when you played them the second time.
Right.
But we saw what happened against Jacksonville. They didn't have Gronk three quarters of that game and still couldn't beat them. So, you know, what was kind of the scheme that week? What kind of plan did you have?
Man, to be honest, because you saw Jacksonville even got after him too. So what we found out is, and Jacksonville did the same thing, if you are able to press those guys, press those receivers that they got, because they're all pretty much like punt returners. Mm-hmm. If you let them run or give them space, they can do damage. But for some reason, if you press them, they're not that effective. So that'll be Philly's challenge. Can they press those guys, get hands on them? Obviously, Gronk is a different matchup. That's a whole different challenge.
Right.
You're probably going to have two sets of eyes on him. But if they can find a way to get up on the line of scrimmage, play bump and run. I'm not sure if Philly is a more of a zone type team or if they're more of a man like matchup type team. But if they can get down there and press those guys and just not let them off the line of scrimmage and mess up Brady's timing. So those guys, they got a good front seven. Let those guys go hunt Tom. They'll have a good chance of winning.
Do you just stay in man the entire game? I've always felt like you got to switch it up on him now.
Yeah,
end up messing yourself up trying to switch it up too much. But do you stay in man? Do you go zone or stay in zone? Or I mean, how do you mix that in?
I'll say this. Without giving up too much, I mean, it doesn't matter. It already happened. But even when we played them that second time, again, they didn't have Grunt. Even when we went to zone, we still pressed. What I'm saying? Like we still pressed just because they are completely different receivers when you get your hands on them. Right. And when you don't, they are deadly. You know what I'm saying? And they got, one of the probably the best quarterbacks to ever play the game throwing it to them. So it just messes up Tom Brady's timing. And, if you get to hitting him, if you get to rushing him, throwing off his timing, he plays different. So that I feel like that'll be the key in the formula for success for Philly.
Now, you guys were you were physical, and both of the games that y'all played, I mean, it was like they was just hitting Tom every play, and you could see him getting frustrated. I think Philly kind of they have a good pass rush up front, and we all know in the Super Bowls that he's lost, when the Giants beat them, it was all about getting up in his face, up in the middle.
Right. And that is the key, man. And that's why they have such a good – pass protection scheme, and normally you see that middle being clogged up and those tackles letting guys just rush up the field and keeping that pocket clean for time. But like you said, man, if you can find a way to rush him up the middle, get him from being able to just stand there and get his feet set and just, be great and moving in the pocket and stepping up, that's when you're going to have success. Because if he can just stand there, man, if he can just step up in that pocket, like, that's when he's going to have success, man. You got to hit him. You got to get some pressure up that middle.
Well, there you have it, folks. That's how you beat Tom. That's that simple.
That's simple.
Fresh up the middle. Now, yeah, it sounds simple. Right. Hard to do, though.
No, you're right about that.
Let me ask both of you guys this. And, Mike, you know, we got you on the phone, so you can answer this first. I don't really care about – no, I'm just playing. I care about Lorenzo's answer. But I think people really misconceive how much they run the ball. People think it's all right. Tom Brady and passing, but they run the ball quite a bit out there in New England.
Right, no doubt, man, and that's the thing. I mean, every defense, like Renzo, you can, what I'm saying, attest to it. Job number one, make them one-dimensional. You got to stop the run, right?
Right.
So if you can do that with those guys, then obviously that's when you can work the other plan. But if they're able to get the ball, if let Deion Lewis, because he's obviously deadly out of the backfield in the past game, but if you're letting him be back there and he can run the ball against you, and then they rotate the other guys, the Gillislees, the Burkheads, and, everybody else, then that's when you have a problem. Because if you can't stop the run, and they got these, like I said, these punt returners that is running these little short routes and turning them into 10, 15, 20-yard gains, then that's when you're going to have a problem, man.
Yeah, man, that's crazy. And, I mean, that's kind of the same way how we approach it, too, being physical. Obviously, we got in their head, and you saw the first game when Tre'Davious was pressing Gronk, and you saw what that led to as well.
Man,
so that's and that's what we wanted to do.
here's a crazy thing, Mike. You could have a great game plan and shut down their run game. You could be physical with those wide receivers. Gronk is the X factor. We all know that.
Definitely.
That dude could take over a game. So, your mind, because the second game, they didn't have him, and you guys ended up beating them. But in your mind, how do you play Gronk? Do you try to get physical with him at the line of scrimmage? I mean, how do you beat them? Well, him.
You have to, man. Like, for him, you got to get hands on him. Because if you let him run, he could beat you with a whole bunch of different ways. He is a good athlete. Some people might think, oh, he's just a big body, just a big tall. Like, no, he's a good athlete. He can actually run. He can make some tough catches with guys all over his back. So if you just allow Tom to, like, sit back there and Gronk could just box guys out or run away from your leverage, then that's just going to be a problem. You have to either, like I said, probably keep two sets of eyes on him or have somebody bump him at the line with somebody over the top or go in and out. You know what I'm saying? Like, even within your zone schemes, like kind of bracket him. Like, those are the type of things you have to do. He's one of those guys that, he commands some attention.
Right, and the Eagles have a great front seven, too. I mean, as far as pass rush, you got Fletcher Cox. Even if you can use one of those defensive ends, just to chip him, knock him off, even though you kind of take them out of their pass rush, because you have a guy like Fletcher Cox who can push the pocket by himself and Graham off the edge, you can kind of get away with that, just to throw that momentum off and the timing off, because that's all they work on.
I expect to see that, and I expect to see Malcolm Jenkins, who played corner,
right,
grew up as a corner, moved to safety, but he's a bigger body type of dude actually facing Gronk most of the day.
Yeah, and we did that as well. We put Micah Hyde on
right,
the second
right,
game,
yeah, yeah.
And he kind of shadowed him everywhere he went. Mm-hmm. But they get creative right. now, too.
I know they do.
They put him in the backfield with my fullback, and it's like, okay, how do we rotate to it?
Exactly. Yeah, I mean – Yeah, I definitely see them doing that because, if I'm not mistaken, they move Jenkins to that kind of hybrid linebacker role
right.
a little bit anyway, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I could definitely see that. You definitely need somebody who could match up with him skill-wise, because if you just put a linebacker there, you know, that probably can't run. You know, hopefully they can run. If it's an athletic linebacker, great. But if you just put somebody who really can't run just to be physical on him, he's going to run away from him if he doesn't have help. If you just put a regular DB on him, you know, like a corner or like it's just an athletic safety, not a big safety, then he's just going to box him out. So like you said, it has to be like that hybrid type, you know, player that body. Like Jenkins, that'd be a good example right there.
Yeah, that's great. No, and you know what, Mike, we appreciate you coming on, man. Do you have anything you're doing off the field right now that you want to kind of pub shoot out there in the community?
Oh, definitely, man. Like anybody, y'all can go check out my social media. I have a live auction bid up until this Saturday coming up right before the Super Bowl for some game-worn jerseys for Kenny Stills, Day Cutler, and myself. So y'all just go in there and y'all see how you can bid online. All you got to do is add me or DM me your bid. And all the proceeds go towards my Dream Business Foundation to go to grassroots organizations in our communities. Like that's going on right now on my social media. That's Michael31Thomas. For
nice.
Both Instagram and Twitter, man. So that's it, bro. That's what I got going on.
Okay. And, I hate to be this guy, man, but I'm still waiting for my jersey, man. You didn't show up. I was trying to give
Dude,
you mine. I was trying to
hey,
get yours, man.
Hey,
you know, I'm just trying
that.
To.
I got that.
I'm just trying to figure it out, man.
Hey, Mike, I asked Lorenzo for a jersey last year. I still ain't got mine. So
why would I give you a jersey, man?
I'm just saying.
I play with you.
What that got to do with anything?
It mean a lot, man. Hey, I got to respect you on the field.
Dang.
You know what I'm saying?
You know what I mean? You gotta earn that. You know?
Rizzo, I got you, bro. You know, you don't want to be out there for whatever. You know what I'm saying? There was reasons I won't get into right now. Why
yeah, no, I understand, bro.
But, you know what I'm saying? But, I'm about to get your address. I'm going to text it to me. I'm going to send it to you.
All right, fam. I got you, too, bro.
All right, bro.
All right, I'll see
Thank
you.
Thank y'all.
Yep.
Follow up.
Yeah, man. Big thanks to Michael T for coming on the show. Really appreciate him taking some time out of his day and spending it with us, D.
Yeah, it's always good to get perspective, and we get to talk to you about
right.
as you played against the Patriots twice, but it's always good to get perspective from, this might sound bad, but a team that actually did beat them. A team that did beat
them
this year.
They beat them, man, yeah.
And, you know, he could give you a blueprint, but once again, they beat him without Gronk, and he's that X factor for him.
Yeah, you say that, but Jacksonville Jaguars knocked Gronk out and
couldn't beat him. Yeah,
you know, and it just comes down to so many factors. You know, when you think about beating the Patriots, obviously you want to take away the weapons. He talked about pressing guys, mm-hmm. being physical with guys, pressing Tom Brady up the middle, getting some pass rush. You think about Fletcher Cox being able to be that guy, because I think that's one spot where New England may have some weaknesses is that guard play, center play up mm-hmm. the middle, especially when you have a dominant guy. I mean, I remember when we played them, Kyle Williams, obviously a good player, Adolphus Washington, good player, both had sacks in the game on that right side going against that left guard, number 62. So that's where I'll be lining Fletcher Cox up, trying to create that matchup. But then it comes down to more things. You know, you think about, and this is the coach in me talking, you know, we just talked to Mike about, you know, being a coach, mm-hmm. just the coach in me, you know. You think about respect for the football. Turnovers, big plays, execution of the scheme, negative plays, not hurting yourself,
right.
flags, third down, red zone, 2 minute, field position. You got to do all that stuff right for four quarters.
Yeah.
Jacksonville did it for four and a half and lost.
We
did it for half, lost. I mean, you have to do it for four quarters. I mean, in every single one, and not just one, every single one. I was watching the Atlanta game. And versus the Eagles, and the Eagles fumbled that ball three times that I watched in like the first three quarters.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that and beat the Patriots.
No,
you can't. You just can't. I mean, they're going to capitalize on every single one of those. They didn't lose all of them, luckily.
Right.
But it does. It's not advantageous. So if they come out and play like that, it's not going to work for them.
The crazy thing is, teams will get up on the Patriots. So, I mean, you see it all the time. You get up on them, and you're like, man, right. We're feeling good. And then all of a sudden,
chip.
They come out in the second half. And typically it starts this way, and I played against them. I remember.
Right.
We've seen it multiple times this year. Jacksonville did it. The last 4 minutes of the first half, you don't get any points.
Right.
They'll get the ball back and get at least a field goal and then get the ball at halftime and get a touchdown out of it.
Right.
And now you're like, oh, man.
The momentum is shifted.
Exactly.
And it's crazy. That's some of the things we talk about. Win the halves. Win the, right. You know, the last series, whether you're keeping that team from scoring or you need to get some points on the board.
Right, right.
And then, especially if you're getting the ball back at halftime, go out there and score again.
Right.
I mean, that could potentially be a 14-point swing.
Right.
And they are magicians. When it comes to – I don't know how they do it consistently. They got to be at a 90% clip at doing this. I don't know. Maybe it feels
it's
like
high.
That.
It's high.
It's higher than anybody else.
Yeah,
and they
man.
Consistently figure out a way to do it, no matter who's on the field.
Right.
Gronk, with Gronk, Amendola, Edelman, no Edelman, various of backs that you can talk about. Obviously, Deion Lewis in that last game ends up fumbling. Oh, well, we just put James White in.
Right.
He comes out, balls, finds ways, makes plays. It is consistently set. I mean, it's just – it's frustrating.
It is.
It's so frustrating.
It is frustrating because you could feel it. You could sense it coming.
Yeah, I'm like, uh-oh.
Last year in the Super Bowl, when the Falcons went up, I was like, this game ain't over.
Right.
And then you can start to feel the momentum shift. And then in the Jaguars game, the same way, you can start to feel the momentum shift. And you're like, here we go. Here we go. And you played against them. I played against them.
Yeah.
You feel it on the sideline. You're like, oh, Lord,
it's
about to happen.
Right. And it has nothing to do about being physical.
It's
just like, I'm like, man, I don't know what to do. What do we do? Play better. Everybody play better. Execute.
Coaches, too.
You play tight. Yeah.
Coaches coach tight. I mean, that's what they do to you because they don't make mistakes. So coaches, all of a sudden, they're doing something different. And you out there in the field, like, they calling a play into the huddle. You're like, what?
Yeah.
What are we doing right now, man? Right. Why are we getting conservative? They going to score.
Right. Playing scared, crazy. Coming up with some stuff. Man, we ain't practiced that all week. What they digging, searching for answers. Stick to our game plan. But it's just amazing how they do it. I mean, and they're chameleons. I thought they did a better job last week at out-executing the way Jacksonville likes to win games better than they did.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they turned it into a field position, run the ball type game. And end up beating him at the end. And obviously you have Tom Brady that did it and then tried to put it on the shoulders of Blake Bortles.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see how they're able to do this with the Eagles and be able to do it for four quarters.
I'm looking forward to it, man. What you think about the final predictions?
Man, you know, I know this is going to be uploaded to the Bills website.
Yeah, and it's tough.
And you know, it's tough. So, I mean, and this is just, you know, I came on the show one time and went with my heart and went against them, the Patriots.
Right.
And I lost. And then people, you were 0-2 for your picks.
Right.
Well, I was 0-2 because I didn't want to pick the Patriots. I wonder why.
Right.
But I'm going to go with the Patriots. I think they're going to be more well-prepared. They've been in this situation. I was listening to Brady earlier this week in an interview, and he was saying he just gets more efficient. Just like what years in the league, I know how to prepare for the season. We talk about he's been to the Super Bowl, the NFC Championship. He's been to the Super Bowl, what, this is going to be his ninth one?
Yeah.
Something
that's
like
crazy.
That. So he's been through this nine times.
Right.
He know how to efficiently prepare, get through the week,
that's
and be
crazy.
At his top of his game. He had nine times to perfect the week, the routine. And that's huge with football players. I don't care where you at in your career. If you have a great routine, mindset, know what to expect, you're going to play outstanding. So just with that, and obviously majority of their team is like that as well because there's a lot of guys that have been to at least a couple of them. So just wear prepared, know how to handle the situation the entire week. And then I hate to say it, you continue to see the same story over and over. It doesn't look like they should win, and they're not going to win, and they come out with it. So I'm going to go with the Patriots, and I'm going to go 24-17.
Well, I'm going to keep it simple. I'm going to go with the Patriots. I mean, just because all of the stuff you just said, I'm going to go with the Patriots and go 28-21.
Okay, Patriots. Mm-hmm. Okay, there you go. I don't need any ill will tweets. I'm just going with my mind and what I've seen as a professional. This is not what I want to see Bills fans, okay?
Right.
All right? So me and Donald don't need all the extra drama.
Yeah.
We're good on it. We don't want them to win, but we think they're going to win.
If you're a betting man, you bet with your mind and not your heart.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of guys go broke the other way. But anyways, man, I appreciate you doing this podcast with me.
Man, thank you.
A lot of fun. Hopefully we can do a little bit more.
I look forward to it.
Yeah, maybe we can even grow and get a lot of followers and maybe do our serious gig that we're trying to get on too, you know,
let's
in
do
the
it.
Future.
Yeah.
You know, serious, you know, XM look out for it.
We'll be talking about all the entire league. Having some real fun. Yeah.
Right. So that, you know, that's our first podcast, you know, Lorenzo's Locker featuring Donald Jones. Appreciate you guys. We out of here.